Well, good afternoon. We're glad that you all could be here. We want to welcome you today to this memorial service for Barbara Downs. And I know that the extended Downs family receives your presence here as a statement of your love and your support and your encouragement to them. As we get started, let's pay attention to the music that's going to lead us into our worship.
Thank you. This is the call to worship. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah.
I'm going to ask you to stand at this time and let's sing that hymn for all the saints inside the hymnal.
For all the saints who from their labors rest,
take your seats. This is Advent season. Before I go to prayer, I want to share with you something you already know, why Jesus came. He came for his own, called from before the foundation of the world, names written in the Lamb's book of life. He didn't come for a vast number of whom he wasn't sure who they were. He knew them. I love what Isaiah writes. Isaiah chapter 43. Fear not, says God. I have redeemed you. Listen to what he says. I have called you by name. Barbara Downs, come forth. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. I am with you. Fear not, I go to prepare a place for you. We sorrow, yeah. Because we will, Miss Barbara. In this life, we will not see her smile. We will not hear her great word of greeting. So glad to see us. And for her children, for Diana and Robert and Beth Ann and Charlotte and the grandchildren, the most important ones, and the great-grandchild. Oh, my. One day, we will be reunited. For we don't sorrow like those who have no hope, do we? No. We have a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I know you by name. Come forth. I will never leave you. Pray with me. Father in heaven, what a privilege is ours that we cannot possibly express, that before the foundation of the world, in a mysterious way that, Father, in our finite minds, we cannot even begin to comprehend. You called us by name, and you wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And on that holy night, that night like no other, he came. He came to climb Golgotha's hill, to die on that cross, to redeem his covenantal sons and daughters that he knows by name. And he's prepared a place for each one of us by name, Father. Oh, how we rejoice in your great goodness, in your care, your providential watchfulness over us through the years, Father. It's amazing. It's amazing, Father, how you brought Don and Barbara together, how you gave them children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, many wonderful memories. Oh, Father, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man. Blessing upon blessing comes to the man who trusts in you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we bring our invocation to you this afternoon, praying that you be lifted up in our midst. You be glorified. Lord Jesus, we know Barbara's with you, and we soon will be with you. And we rejoice in that blessed hope that is ours, steadfast and sure, blessed assurance. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Shackled by a heavy burden,
Proverbs 16, 1 through 3. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16, 6 through 9. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps.
First Peter 5, 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, but it is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we shall walk with him.
1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Would you please stand with me? The words are in the bulletin, God of our fathers.
On behalf of the entire Downs family, from Dad and from all the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we're so thankful for this body of believers here, and also for all the friends that have come from very far away to be with us here today. And we're very, very thankful. It's very supportive and encouraging to us and to our dad during this time. And it is a time of rejoicing. This is a time that we know is sorrowful for us, but rejoicing in what the Lord has done in my mom's life. So I will try to keep this somewhat brief and succinct, but like our president, if you get off script, it could go pretty bad. One of the things I do want to start off with is... working this through with Melissa, one of my daughters here today, she said, Grandma would be very upset that she's missing this. She always wanted to know what was going on. If she was in the kitchen, that was our opportunity to try to talk without her being in our presence, but she always wanted to hear what we were saying. So this is just a little summary of my mom's life here. Barbara Ann was born on April 24th, 1936, in East Orange, New Jersey, the only child of William and Dorothy Meyer. Mom moved from Bloomfield, New Jersey, to reside in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, as a young girl. She met her future husband, Donald Downs, at the Pequannock Grammar School in eighth grade. As high school sweethearts, they both attended Butler High School in Butler, New Jersey, where she graduated in 1954. We think Dad graduated also, but we're not quite sure about that. Because of Mom, I'm sure. Upon graduation, she attended Montclair Teachers College in Montclair, New Jersey, where Mom graduated with a teaching degree in math in 1958. She started her teaching career in the same high school she graduated from a few years ago. Barbara and Donald were married on December 21st, 1957, in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. Also, that would put them at 61 years and 51 weeks, so we're giving them 62. So, before the favorite son came along in 1961, that's me, they spent a lot of free time, you know, both dad doing his work and mom being a teacher. They were able to go boating. Mom's dad had a boat that he actually built himself, a 27-foot cabin cruiser. They had the opportunity to have one of their first trips to Florida. In that, they came down the Intercoastal Waterway and made a trip all the way down here. They flew back, and then my mom's parents brought the boat back. They also spent those early years on her dad's property, mom and dad's property, in what they called the bungalow. That was the summer house. That was the precursor before they had their other house in Pompton Plains, before they purchased their first home in Butler, New Jersey. Then the fun began. Or another way of putting it, their carefree life of those early years of marriage changed as the family began to grow. There was myself, Robert, who was born in December of 61, Diana, December of 63, Beth Ann, May of 66, and Cheryl, August of 69. It was in 1964 the family was growing, so they bought a new home in West Milford, New Jersey. At the same time, it was like moving to no man's land from what all the other family members said. You're moving where? To when? How far away? What time zone? But that's where they began at their first new home. Some of the things about Mom, especially her Florida friends, will not know, and there's some old friends from the neighborhood that are here that probably will remember these days. Although it was a 1960s brand new subdivision of, you know, 40 or 50 homes being built, there were no paved roads in those early days. So picture my mom as she sits here, not a hair out of place, and everything's perfect, these things going on. So she had to carry us kids at that point, I guess three of us probably, and across a wooden plank, so we didn't fall in the mud, so that we could try to climb into the precursor of minivans, the VW bus, okay, with a stick shift. Okay, so there again, picture mom sitting here in your sanctuary. Okay, as the story goes, she also then proceeded to get stuck at one time, maybe more than once, on those muddy roads, relying on the construction guys to come and get her out of that. So with us kids probably sitting in there being very quiet and patient. No seatbelts back then, so who knows what was going on. When we were young children, mom and dad attended the Kinnelon Reformed Church. It was a new startup church that met in a high school and then soon built a physical building where they served for a handful of years there in Kinnelon. One of the stories about this, just a brief story, on one Sunday morning, mom being a married to a musical person, always involved in church music, as you folks are probably aware of. You come in separate cars, different things, many rehearsals. She was on her way, driving down Route 23 to attend that, only to be pulled over. So she was nice to the police officer, showed the fact that she was about 10 months pregnant and on her way to church, and he let her off the hook. There again, picture mom just sitting there nice and quiet. Okay. Over time, Mom and Dad decided to move on from that church and search for another. So they ended up settling on an independent Bible church in Rockaway, New Jersey, called Green Pond Bible Chapel. Actually, some of our friends are here from that church today. And in doing so, they rededicated their lives to the Lord. They became, I want to use the word serious, but they became serious in their faith and really started to grow in the Lord. And this was the beginning of Mom's ministry of being a prayer warrior. Although she felt she did not have a ministry, she wasn't one of those outgoing in the front. She let my dad take care of that role. She was always praying. And as I saw Facebook comments and different things going on, you know, many people refer to her as a prayer warrior. And that is something that she will be known for. And to encourage us in our prayer life, when life gets difficult, tough, busy, to do that first before we start moving on. A few other things about Mom. She would take us along with Dad to her mother's place in, at the Jersey Shore. Now, those of you from New Jersey know you went down to the shore, right? They don't get that down here, going down to the shore. Okay. She would do the boardwalk with us and the beach things and all those things. And I think that's one of the reasons why she was always drawn to the pier at Naples. I'm sure that reminded her many times of the weeks and months we would spend down at the Jersey Shore. Something else you may not know about Mom was that she was an avid camper. Now, not one of those $300,000 motorhomes you see up Route 75, okay? She started off in a tent on wheels. So my dad had the bright idea that we're going to do this. And he came home with him. I think he sold a car to do that, right? Or something like that? Or okay, so he came home and said, we're going to try out camping. Now, back then, camping back then, it was a steel box on wheels, and that's all it was. And so she took her first camping trip on tent on wheels. To my father's surprise, it went quite well. There was no rain, there was no bugs, there was no nothing. So it was perfect. But she said to Dad, we need something just a little bit nicer. And that started a whole progression of 20 years of camping and five different units and campsites and trips and many things we did as families. My dad, being a on-the-road salesperson at that time, took up the family with us. We would go on the road with him, and it was great things. She did many things with us, cooking outside. There again, picture Mom sitting here in this room. Cooking outside, taking us kids swimming while Dad might be on a business trip or out working for the day. Taking us to arts and crafts at the local campgrounds that we were at because we stayed there all summer long. We did art classes, countless campfires. Okay, who could forget her what?
Apple pie.
There you go. You read my notes right now. apple pies. Mom would make apple pies for us around the campfire, and she was definitely the hit of the area of that campground. A couple things about Mom. Mom was very precise. That's probably the mom the barber you guys might know. Very precise. And everything she did, unlike me, this ink is still wet. She was a teacher. I'm her worst nightmare. So has anyone ever gotten something from Mom not dated? This is pretty much for the grandkids. Has anybody got anything not dated? Okay, so Mom loves to put dates on things. You might have even seen some of the pictures that were up on that slide. They were dated with handwritten whatever pieces of paper that they're taking pictures of. But she dated everything, whether it's her precious moments or her ornaments. I have a couple things that I'm still using from when Mom and Dad gave up the house in West Milford. I know you all have them down here in Florida. It's called an electric snow shovel, right? You have them, right? So when Dad says, you want this thing? I'm going to throw it away. I said, yeah, I'll take it, you know? So I took it, and she gave me the pamphlet with the date on it when they purchased it, 1974. Mom, I still have it, but I don't know where, but I still have it. my wife and I, being somewhat of the oldest, I guess we got some of the good stuff. We got a coffee urn. Coffee urn on the box, it's dated when she purchased. Still the avocado green, so everybody can remember those days of the 70s. So some things about Mom, she was very, very particular. She dated everything. We had to refer to a roadmap yesterday because, I don't know, you guys couldn't figure out how to use your phones or something like that. And on the roadmap, we went to the Atlas. Those were handwritten notes of the best way to go to come across 95 to get down to 75. So there it was. Mom loved her calendars. We all know that. We all received many calendars every year. And if you wanted to know something that you were going to be doing or did, it was on a calendar, and she would recall it for you. She didn't understand why many of us did not live by a calendar and why we were like saying, really, that's happening tomorrow? I told you 3 weeks ago. Put it on your calendar. Way before cell phones kept track of our schedules and everything else, she had it written down on a calendar. Even if you thought you were due for a haircut as kids, she would recall to the calendar and say, nope, not yet. You got another week to go before you get a haircut. Or in my case, she would say, you're like 5 weeks overdue for a haircut. So, Caleb, I like how you wear your hair. Mom was a very sacrificial and supportive mother and wife by supporting Dad and us in everything we did. Dad with his many years of church music ministries and various types of sales jobs, me with scouting activities and sports, Diana with her music and her softball, Bethann with her years of dance, and Cheryl, like her big sisters, doing dance and music also. Along with those activities, and as we grew up to be adults, she was always most interested in our lives when it came to the spiritual things. How's it going? What can I pray for? What's happening in church? I'm still involved in the church that they helped us grow in along with Cheryl. And, you know, how's it going with this? What's going with this? I heard about this. You know, she always wanted to be in the know so that she could pray, so she could be informed. So she always wanted us to, she always was concerned about our spiritual lives and how are the grandkids doing and all those things. That became her most, and was one of her most important things. How are we doing spiritually? Although she did like to know what we're talking about. So she loved all of her grandchildren, and her spouse, their spouses were always considered grandchildren. They weren't in-laws or anything. She loved all her grandchildren, including spouses, 20 of them, and her three great-grandchildren. Christmas ornaments. Anybody here receive a Christmas ornament? Okay, my mom had a thing that of Christmas ornaments, and she would get everybody a Christmas ornament each year that was something special for that person. And what would she do on it? Date it and write on it. Many of us have many years of those ornaments. It was a hair bit sad with one of the grandsons said they received their first and only one this year, you know, being married. So as a new married couple, but that's going to be a special, special ornament for them. Some of the grandkids' memories. So I went off my grandkids a little bit who were or the older side of the clan. But for them, it was kind of like special foods for overnight visits. They spent many of nights over in West Milford visiting and staying overnight. Grandpa's antics, you know, with them, but then Grandma coming around the corner and trying to be nice to them. No, Dad was very good with the kids. But she was always having something special for them. She liked to make sure they had bagels. And I remember 25 years ago, 30 years ago, bagels weren't as popular as what they were now. So they had their bagels or they had the little bits of this and this, the favorite foods that they wanted. Some of you younger grandkids, what did you all do when you came down? You had to make a trip to the pier and the zoo. Okay, you had to go to the zoo. Both my kids said, we never went to the zoo. What's up? I guess we were too old for the zoo by the time we started coming down. So, but the zoo, we also know Mom was very detailed, as we mentioned. This might be the barber you might know. And we all know her because this is something that she did not start later in life. The peanut butter jar. The peanut butter jar. The peanut butter jar or the Cool Whip container. Okay. Oh, the butter. Okay. There could be any, had to be smooth. So before you put that away, you had to smooth it out. Take that peanut butter, and that should be nice and smooth. No gloppy stuff hanging off the side. No, she would come to one of our houses, maybe not yours, but probably mine, and she would say, why can't I get this jar of jelly open? I said, Mom, it's your arthritis. But probably it's because we didn't clean it off, you know. She was very particular about how she cared for things, and she did that not only in the things of life, but she cared for Dad, and she cared for us children and for grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So she understood, though, that her relationship with Jesus was her first priority. And as she grew in her faith and as she became stronger in her faith and leaned more on Jesus, that was more and more evident in her life. And she would say that often, that Jesus is the most important thing. But a very, very close second was her love for Dad. And even before us kids and herself, you know, she was concerned about her relationship, you know, to Dad and, first of all, God. Yes, Beth Ann, she loved Dad more than you, just so you know. So, okay. Not by much. Okay. So I'd just like to read a short passage of Scripture here, to the priest passage before what Mark had read in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of your of their wives. When they see you respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. Although Mom was very particular, that's not what she lived for. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with imperishable beauty, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by, submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. In concluding a life about Mom and Barbara and her friends here, these things will not fade away because she was very precious. As that passage says, she was that woman who had the inner being very pure, being very desiring of living a life to honor God. And so although she has departed from us, we will not forget. Mom's life coming to an end was not met with uncertainty. She knew as a believer in Jesus where she would be going. That was a few of the last words I had when I spoke to her. I was somewhat prepared for this when my mom passed. A lot of my friends might come up to me and say, "Oh, it's such a tough time of the year to have somebody, you know, die." And death is tough. But I thought about that, and the Lord gave me the words quickly, and I feel that they were proper. I said, "No, it's the exact opposite. She is rejoicing because of what Christ did so many years ago, that she could come. He came to save us of our sins, to save us from the wrath of God. And in doing so, my mom knows that, and she's now experienced that culmination of what Christ meant and what we celebrate his birth and ultimately his sacrifice and his resurrection." I said, so yes, it's hard, and yes, it's tearful. But yet, she's got the full package, you know, as we would say. Her package is complete. Her life is complete. And we are just the ones hoping for that to happen in our own lives. In closing, I just want to read one last passage of Scripture in Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. As a summary of my mom's life, I probably could have just read this, and that would have said enough. But I'd like to wrap it up with this passage here. "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow," okay, "for her household. For her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Her strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. and her praise and praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her work praise in her gates.
For those of you who may be contemplating putting together your own memorial service, this was the paradigm right here. And I think Rob would hire out. Thank you for those very good words, Rob. I'd also like to say that after following the service, we have some light refreshments in the fellowship hall. If you want to stay around and chat and visit some, we would welcome to have you stay with us. Seems to me that a memorial service accomplishes three things. First, a memorial service helps to provide closure. It's kind of hard to even think of the idea that Barbara's not here. And I'm sure there's going to be times when Don and the children and the grandchildren and maybe even one day the great-grandchild will reach for the phone to give her a call when something important or something newsy or something hurtful occurs. And for Don, it has to be extraordinarily difficult to have lost a companion of, I think, what we're considering now, 62 years. Okay. But be that as it may, Barbara has been promoted. She's been promoted to glory, as it reads on Jim Elliott's headstone. It is equally so with Barbara. She has been promoted to glory, and we're here today to affirm that and to support one another in the admission of such. And after we had my mother's memorial service in this very room, we had a sofa that sat right over there. It was really good for naps. And my dad slumped down exhaustively next to me, and he said to me, "Except for the occasion, it was a perfect day." And I hope that at day's end, the extended Downs family will be able to look at one another and say that except for the occasion, it was a perfect day. So a memorial service helps to bring the closure necessary to continue in life with what seems to be a deviation from the norm. And the second thing that a memorial service does is to remind us of a life well lived. I think Rob did a fantastic job here in helping us understand a little bit more about Barbara, who didn't know her that well. But I think the greatest testimony to a life well lived is what I have right here in front of me. We had to make 28 reserve signs to cover 3.5 rows here to accommodate the extended Downs family. And I think Barbara would probably agree with me that that, in fact, was the greatest testimony to her life. Her greatest accomplishment in her life was her family and the wonderful people that they've turned out to be. Now, I'm told that you kind of like each other and that even with that, you don't always agree with each other. You probably didn't even agree with Barbara all the time, but you all turned out to be fine young women and men, a source of joy for your mom, for your grandmom. She often spoke of her family, and I think you probably all speak of your mom and grandmom often. I got a hold of some notes from your mom's first speaking engagement. She was to address the mothers for a Mother's Day service or event that they were having at their church. And I want to quote Barbara on a couple of occasions here. She said, I speak to you tonight as a mother of four dearly loved, born again, Christian children who wouldn't be this if my husband and I hadn't had a tight Christian family togetherness. Many times people have commented to me, she goes on, that I have such perfect children. That's a lot to live up to. That have such perfect children, you never complain or seem to have problems with them. How do you do it? As a mother, I pray every morning and night and in between for my children and now their spouses, who I consider to be my children and grandchildren. I frequently pray for guidance for me in handling my children, even now when they're all out of the home. I'm thankful for my children and their daily life and growth. I look for the good in situations, and I see the glass half full instead of half empty. In all things, she says, it is my endeavor to be thankful. A mom like that's rare. And your presence here today from all over the country, I'm told from Maine to California, is testament to the indelible stamp that your mom has placed on your heart, and you're coming together to support your mom in her illness, and now to support one another in her passing is a testament to the strong influence and impact that your mom, that your grandma has made on this world. Ronald Reagan, in a speech at the dedication of the Marine Corps Museum in Quantico, Virginia, said, "Some people have to wait all of their lives to see if their life had any impact. The Marines didn't have to wait that long." And I think the same could be said of your mom. She didn't have to wait until her life was on the brink to know that her purpose had been fulfilled. She had you. She wrote in some of her closing thoughts for her speech, "Mothers hold their children's hands when they're young, but they hold their hearts forever." A third thing that a memorial service does is to remind us of the hope that is laid up for us when this earthly tent fails. The family told me that Barbara was a prayer warrior, was a woman of prayer, but she was more than that. That speech that I excerpted a few moments ago, it began with Barbara saying, "The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me." I know Barbara. She sat through several of my Bible studies. She sat through some of my very best sermons. And she sat through some of my very worst sermons. But let it be known to all that Barbara was a woman of the book. She loved to marinate in the Word of God. It was her pattern in life. It was her hope in death. And she wrote, "The Bible is the only book that contains all the pattern pieces for living a Christian life." You've already heard some of Barbara's favorite verses read by her grandchildren. Barbara was quite biblically literate. And there are several great verses that she loved. Our call to worship that Rachel read from Psalm 46, a verse she clearly liked and responded to when we read it in the hospital a few weeks ago. "Be still and know that I am God." And then the verses that the grandchildren read, all of which were valuable life verses for Barbara. One of her favorite pieces of literature was the short essay called "Footsteps in the Sand." We put it in your bulletin in the program to just kind of highlight that. It goes, "One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I need you most, you would leave me," he whispered, "my precious child. I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." That's a great picture of our lives before God. Guidance and direction in life's routine moments. And he carries us in our most difficult times. And Barbara's abiding hope is that the moment she took her last breath on this planet, she was welcomed by our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, who said to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your salvation. The Bible has much to say about life. The Bible has much to say about eternal life as well. But the Bible is rather ambiguous about the nature of heaven. It's my personal belief that this was done with intent, because God knew if we understood how wonderful heaven was, we'd all want to check out of this life early. The Bible says that this life is explicitly temporary. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God. No more tent on wheels. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found unclothed. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. In this passage, the Bible is teaching us that our earthly bodies are a tent, which is an explicitly temporary domicile. Tents get old, they decay, and they tear. But as he says in verse 1, in heaven there awaits a house for us, a house made by God himself. And that house is eternal. That is our resurrection bodies, which at this moment Barbara's preparing for. Now, there's some theological question that humans have as to what point that the resurrection body is realized, but it doesn't really matter in a practical sense, because Barbara's no longer bound by time. With the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. I don't know how she's going to date that. But it'll be a blink of an eye, however it happens, and Barbara will be occupying her new body. Breath will come easy. There'll be no more pain. And there won't even be need for a light, because the Bible says the Lamb will be the lamp. The Bible says that this heaven is a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. Barbara rested wholly in God's grace and mercy when she first believed that Jesus was God's provision for her sin. Yes, for all the good you heard about today, Barbara was a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Barbara would have owned that. She also would have gladly agreed that God is a holy and righteous God who cannot dwell with sin. But she confessed that Jesus was the divine Son of God. On the cross, he received in his body the punishment that our sins deserved. Before a holy God, and when she went to meet him on December the 14th, Barbara stood clothed. Not in her own righteousness, which the Bible tells us is as filthy rags, but clothed in the gleaming raiment of Christ. That was Barbara's hope and expectation. God has put eternity in man's heart. That was what was in Barbara's heart, and now her great hope and expectation is a reality. And this is the third reason why we gather, to remind ourselves of this great hope. Would you pray with me? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for lending us Barbara for these past many years. And God, we know that her absence means pain to the Downs family and for all who are close. God, we pray that you would be a salve to that pain, that you would draw close to her good family, that they would sense your presence with them, and in that find comfort knowing that Barbara is with you in your heaven. God, we recognize that these bodies of ours are frail, that they come apart, that they are not intended to be permanent. God, we pray that we might have that same vision and focus that Barbara had, that we would keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, suffering the shame, so that we may not lose hope. Thank you for the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. We make our prayer in his name. He is our strong Savior. Amen. We're going to conclude our time with a final song. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Will you stand with me as we sing?
We're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth stanzas together.
Receive God's benediction, for it is now unto Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling. It is now unto Jesus, who is able to present you before his glorious presence spotless and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, majesty, and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.